Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 35, newly married, and all I keep hearing is, why haven't you got any kids? Or, isn't it about time you started trying? Or, you're not getting any younger, you know? Yeah, I do know. Thanks. But what I don't know is if I actually want a baby. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I'll talk to new mums, non-mums, baby wanters, baby rejectors to find out if I want to baby or not to baby. This episode, I'll speak to one of my best friends, Holly, who knew from a very young age that she never wants kids.
What gets uncomfortable is when they said it to you 17 times on a trot, and they're like, well, are you sure? Well, why wouldn't you want children? But why? But like, your answer isn't good enough. And then it gets a bit uncomfortable because we're 10 minutes in, I'm still saying no, and they think they can break me, and I'll go, oh, all right, I'll have two.
And with me on this journey is my sister and mate, Camilla.
Mate.
I didn't say best friend because I said best friend for Holly, so I didn't want to be like, oh, this is my best friend and here's my other best friend. Here are all my best friends.
You had Chester last week. How did that make you feel?
Oh, I love having Chester. So doing one thing is so hard with a baby in tow. So you left Chester. Oh, and also I made a really bad mistake, didn't I? We'll get to that in a minute. Having a seven-month-old person that you're responsible for the whole time is really hard work. And doing any kind of job that you think seems like a normal job, like, I'll just make a cup of tea, that will be fine. Oh, I'll just open the front door and collect something from the postman, that will be fine, is having a... Obviously, I had the dog, so I had Troy. But then Chester comes with a lot of stuff. I had to take him to the park. Now, I live in a terraced house that has two steps to get into the front door. So I was like, right, okay, with the buggy, do I leave Chester on the sofa and put the buggy outside the front door, set up, and then get Chester and put him in it? Or is that too long to leave him on the sofa? So then I was like, I know. If I go out the kitchen door, down the alley at the side of the house, there's no step, maybe I can go out that way. But that way then involved me navigating through two doors at a really weird angle, then through two gates. Then I realised I was trapped behind the pushchair and needed to get to the gate to unleash myself, and managed to rip a hole in my jeans and a nail in the wall trying to get round him. Then when I got to the park, it rained. There was a rain cover in the bottom of the buggy, but I had never used this before. So I'm like, oh my God, don't know what I'm doing here. So managed to get him.
So did you put it on your head and let him get wet?
I used myself as a veil over the buggy to shelter him and got rained on. Now, I managed to put it on, and then you said to me, he'll fall asleep.
Sorry. Take him for a walk. That was very accusing. You said.
No, he didn't.
Just most of the time.
So then when we got back, I was like, right, you said that he'll probably need, like, he'll sleep. He was a bit grumpy that morning. He'll need, like, he'll be okay if he's had a sleep. So I took him upstairs to my bedroom, put him in the middle of the king-size bed, closed the blinds, closed the blackout curtains, stroked his belly and made up a song. So I started to sing Rockabye Baby and realised I didn't know the words to it. So it ended up being like a Rockabye Baby, Chester go to sleep, and like other random...
You should hear some of mine. I mean, that's good.
Did that for about 17 minutes and then he fell asleep. But then... there's a baby asleep in the middle of the bed. What am I supposed to do? Do I have to just sit at the side of the bed and observe the baby on the bed? Or can I leave? I don't really know. So I was like, oh, I was going away that weekend. So I thought, I'll pack my case in the dark while Chester's asleep on the bed. Anyway, by the time I'd packed my case, he's still asleep on the bed. I'm like, I've had no breakfast. I wanted to make a cup of tea and a bit of toast. Have I got time? Will he roll? I'm like, he's right in the middle of the bed. He's looks pretty asleep. I'll go downstairs. So I made the... So I made the cup of tea and the toast. I took it back upstairs to check that he was still asleep. He's still asleep, still in the same position.
By which point he'd rolled off the bed. No, I'm joking.
I then went downstairs and thought, could I put on Home and Away if I put it on quite quietly so I would hear if he woke up?
I mean, there's two things wrong with that. Firstly, Chester loves Home and Away and would probably have liked to watch it with you, so you could have woken him up. He's still on the bed on his own and can roll off.
Anyway, so then I was checking at regular intervals, pause, Paul's going, can I hear him? No, I can't hear him. He's fine. He's fine.
I can't hear him crying. I can't hear him crying on the floor.
I've not heard a thud. He's fine. And okay. Anyway, then I went back up to check on him. And as I did, he was just starting to wake up. So then I stroked his face and we had a nice little cuddle when he first woke up and then took him back downstairs and he was fine. And you came back and got him. And
That was a great case scenario, wasn't
it?
He was
fine.
But you know what happened to me a few weeks before? Oh, did you not know?
Yeah, but I thought that was when he was awake.
It was when he was awake, but he can wake up any time.
Yeah, but he's not going to roll immediately off the bed as soon as he wakes up.
Naomi, he was in the middle of my bed, right? So this
is
only
size?
Just super king.
Oh, nah. Well, okay. All right.
Someone's doing well. No, I'm joking. It's a super king. It is. It's massive. And he only just started rolling, and he always used to fall asleep on my bed, and I'd put the camera on him so I could keep my eye on him, so even if I was having a shower I could watch him, and then I could literally leap out if I thought there was anything going on. He just started rolling, I was running him a bath, and I'd put him right in the middle of the bed, and I'd literally, bear in mind the bathroom is opposite my bedroom, just ran in there to check the temperature, heard a cry, ran back in. He had rolled from the middle off the bed in seconds, like literally seconds, and I felt like the worst mum in the world until I spoke to my friends who all told me it's a rite of passage and all babies fall off the bed. But only once, please, Naomi. So next time you have him.
You obviously didn't put him in the middle, though.
He was in the middle, I promise.
Jokes.
You. Directly in the middle. Directly in the middle.
Also, it's so exhausting talking in a high-pitched voice to a small person. Like, the whole time... Because he doesn't respond to this voice. Like, he doesn't respond to just a normal, regular person's voice.
That's because I'm his mum.
Yeah, true.
I just sing everything to
it's
him.
It's the soprano in you, darling. Okay, so you are my first no baby.
No baby, no babies.
She says as she strokes her fur baby.
Which is a dog, to be clear.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so talk to me about why you have made the decision, or have you, that you don't want to have kids.
I've always known. I've never, ever thought I wanted to have a child. Even when I was younger, I didn't particularly play the sort of game of, oh, let's play families or do anything like that. I've just never had a desire. So I've not necessarily chosen it. I've just never, it's never even been a choice, if that makes sense. It's not something I've ever thought about because it's just never come into my mind that I would want one.
But do you not feel like, because there's definitely part of me that thinks for a lot of my life I thought I wanted kids because I thought that's what people did.
Yeah, I mean, completely. Every time it comes into a conversation, whether it's now that I'm 34 and with a partner of 10 years who I love, or whether it was when I was 18 and we're just talking about what maybe our future might look like, the only real questions are about your house, about your partner, and about whether or not you're going to get married and have children. I'm not married. We're not getting married. It's not a choice that we need to make to change our happiness or make us any happier. And that's definitely the way I feel about children. I know my life and I know my happiness is not going to feel better for having children. It's just not something that I see in my future. And it's a choice that I've been really clear with everyone in my life always about. I think it's actually harder for other people to accept and understand than me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and having known you and knowing what you're like with children, I think that's why people who know you struggle so much with the concept of you going, I have no kind of maternal wantings, because you are one of the most maternal people. You are, like, in our group of friends, I would say you are the mother hen.
Yeah.
And with our friends who have children, you are the most doting friend of all of our group of people. So I think people go, oh my God, but you're great with kids. Why would you not want your own kid?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is the statement everyone says, especially now that I'm around more children. every single person who sees it does say, oh, but you're so great. But, you know, maybe I'd be great at being a chef. Well, I wouldn't. I can't cook. But I'm trying to think of something I would be good at. But, like, you know, just because you'd be great at something, it doesn't mean you should go do it, right? I'm good at Excel spreadsheets, but I'm not going to go be an accountant because that's not what brings me passion. Well, actually, Excel spreadsheets do bring me passion as well, don't they? But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that just because you'd be good at it, it doesn't mean we have to go do it in life. What I've realised is when someone else is so passionate about something and it brings them such happiness, I think they just assume it will do the same for you. So they kind of not push it on you, but say if someone's had a child and then they see you with a child and in that moment you look happy and you're loving and caring with that child, because I do love children. I think they're wonderful, and I think every moment you spend with a child you should try and invest a lot of time into making it a really educational and fun time for them. And if someone sees that, I think they just assume that that moment of happiness is something that I would look for lifelong, but it's not. It's like very temporary and lovely, and I can invest fully in that time with those children, but I don't want to invest fully full time my life committing to that.
Do you think you're almost better at being able to do that with other people's children because you don't have that?
Completely. It's easy to be a best fun auntie, isn't it? Because I can completely invest a full weekend in activities and fun, and there's no, I know I can go do my jobs the next weekend or the next week. So, yeah, it's completely that, isn't it?
So do you ever get people where they're like, oh, so when are you having kids? Oh, you'll be next, like that stuff.
All, I mean, so Kev, my partner, is from the most loving, beautiful, huge Irish Catholic family. Traditionally, the root of happiness for most of his family is children.
I mean, they're all about
marriage.
The kids, mate. Yeah, they're all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's, I think his mum's one of 11, I'll get this wrong and he'll hear, one of 11, and dad's one of 6 or 8. Christ. So, you know, Kev's one of 4. And, you know, we'll go to wedding after wedding, and there will be a lot of hints dropped about, you know, oh, when you, or, well, just about the marriage and then kids. Mm. So we're twofold behind on tradition. Breaking all the rules. I think now, I maybe don't get it quite as much, but, I mean, you'll know, because I've said forever, I'm not having children. I met Kev and I knew I loved him. And within 2 weeks, I said, just so you know, I don't want children. Because if it was the other way around, and say if I'd wanted children and I got with Kev and he'd never told me that he didn't, I'd be upset at that. So I think it's fair to be honest, which I've always been. So I don't get, people don't ask me quite as often anymore who know me. And those people don't know me, they question me a bit and then they almost don't talk to you again about it because they're just, they're so shocked.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the reaction? So imagine I'm Kev's doting Irish auntie and I'm like, oh, when are you going to be giving us a niece or a nephew?
Well, you know what's so awkward? I don't lie. I just don't say it out loud because not out loud, but I say maybe I'm just like, oh, I don't know, or you know,
one day,
yeah, exactly. Well, I'm a bit naughty. I'm like, why don't you ask Kev when he's going to put a ring on it, and then see, because I know that's never going to happen. But, and I don't want it to, but it's just me sending him his way.
I'm going to pass the baton.
Exactly. Yeah, this is not for me today.
So I have just said farewell to my sister and Chester in the street. My neighbour Sue from two doors down was out, and she says to me, oh, it'll be your turn next. Will it, Sue? Will it?
There's times when I'll have the challenge, I'll have the conversation, I've got the energy for it, because it's less frowned upon now to choose not to, I think, but it's still a bit, what do you mean you don't want children? Like, it's a shock to them.
Yeah. Are you ever made to, or have you ever been made to feel uncomfortable about your decision to not?
Yeah, I think I'm very, very lucky to be quite a confident individual. So I think even when I've been made to feel uncomfortable, I can pretty much hold my own, or what gets uncomfortable is when they said it to you 17 times on a trot and they're like, well, are you sure? Well, why wouldn't you want children? But why? But like, your answer isn't good enough. And then it gets a bit uncomfortable because we're 10 minutes in, I'm still saying no, and they think they can break me, and I'll go, oh, all right, I'll have two.
Oh, whoopsie, silly me. I've been making the wrong decision the whole time.
Yeah. So that's probably when it gets uncomfortable, where they think they're actually going to like break me into saying all right. And I'm thinking, oh. And then
one day you should try it and their face will drop. They'll be like, oh my God, really? And you'll be like, no, of course not, you idiot.
No, I'm not just going to change my entire life because we're sat having a glass of wine and you think I'd be a good mum.
But do you know what I think? Because, so before I asked you if you would do this interview, even I had to say to you, do you not want kids? And now I feel bad for saying that because I think loads of our friendship group all thought, oh, you know what, one day she'll probably change her mind.
Of course.
Did you ever think that one day you would change your mind?
No. But no one believes me.
Yeah.
And even you've just admitted that. I mean, Anna doesn't believe me.
Oh my God, she will never believe it.
Anna won't even believe this podcast.
Anna's one of our best friends. She is like adamant that Holly, she's like, you must. You are so wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. There's just no way. But I wanted to go to the doctors and have the snip or the tube ties or whatever it is years ago.
I don't even know what it is.
I think it's tube ties, isn't it? I think they tie your tubes because it can't be reversed, whereas with men, that's why most men do it, because it can almost be reversed.
I thought surely it's easier to undo a tie than a snip.
Well, I mean, maybe I should be a doctor.
No, you're not good at that.
No, I'm not good at that. No one's pressuring me to do that. Let's get the scissors out.
Tube ties, snip, Dr. Camilla / girl who's on Google has the answer. So the actual thing is sterilisation, yeah?
Absolutely. This is not Googled. This is purely my intelligence. The surgeon will block your fallopian tubes by either applying clips that are plastic or titanium and they clamp over the fallopian tubes. Applying rings where a small loop of the fallopian tube is pulled through a silicone ring, then clamped shut. Ouch.
That sounds like a gastric band, but for your downstairs.
Yeah, geez. Tying, cutting and removing a small piece of the fallopian tube. It's a fairly minor operation and many women return home the same day. But wait, this is the bit that got me. The surgeon accesses your fallopian tubes by making a small cut either near your belly button, or just above your pubic hairline. They then insert a long, thin instrument that has a light and camera to clearly see your fallopian tubes. A laparoscopy is usually used because it's faster, but a mini laparotomy may be recommended for women, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, it sounds awful and I ain't having it done, so, rather you than me.
So the irony is the doctors won't do it when you're younger, which I understand because people do change their mind. That's what people do. And I guess because most people probably grow up and change their mind, that's why people have always thought that's what I'll do. Mm. You know, she'll stop enjoying her life as a 20-year-old and become 30, get a house, two dogs and pop a few kids.
Everyone else will be having a kids and she'll just think,
yeah,
go on then, I'll have one.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But there's something inside me, like I'm sure there's something inside the women that desire children. I've got the exact same, but the exact opposite strength of like feel.
Yeah. But isn't that awful? Because I kind of feel like the people who have that deep maternal instinct and, oh, they've always wanted to become a mum and then they become a mum and it's the best thing and it's the making of them and all this, that is celebrated. And yet if you decide that if you say, oh no, actually, I don't want to have children, why is that not? Like, why is one of those right and one of those wrong, even though neither of them really is right or wrong, but there is kind of
well,
that.
One is traditional, one is culturally what the world has accepted and expected.
Yeah.
But I think it's a trend that is shifting for sure. Mm. I mean, if you look at our friendship group, actually I'm not the only one that definitely doesn't want children.
Yeah, to be fair, in our friendship group, it's maybe a 50-50.
Could we call it 50-50? Yeah. And that's quite a loud number when you look at it like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's quite telling of our generation.
But you know what? In our friendship group, it is. But in my other friendship groups, they're all about the mumming.
Interesting. Do you think I surrounded myself with people that don't want kids, so I have some childless allies, friends? Someone will still go try people with me when I'm 50.
Mate, I'll still be there.
I know
anyway.
You will, babe. Sorry, Dan, you'll be babysitting.
Do you think Kev thought you would change your mind? Because Kev want kids?
So Kev, when we had that conversation, Kev wanted 4.
Whoa.
So I
mean,
said,
that's quite a lot more than none.
Yeah, that's like more than most people want. But then I made Kev hang around with kids a lot.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and then he decided he didn't want any.
Okay.
Because there's a responsibility level there that's different. Do you know, I do always check in with Kev though, and I always make sure that I've not forced the decision upon him. And I've always been really clear that I love him and I know he loves me. But if children was what he wanted, I would not be pleased that he left me, but like, do leave me, go follow that route, go do that. And I've always been really clear that I'm not changing my mind, so stick with me on these terms, because I couldn't have a child for someone else. That would be an insane decision to make, I personally think.
Yeah.
I personally think to compromise myself and my feelings of completely not wanting children because I was in love with someone who did want children, I think it would make too much of a mess for us. But as Kev's got older, I think he's enjoyed his life. I think he enjoys our independence. And we have spent time with children. He's so maternal. I mean, he's a big
paternal
kid.
Paternal, darling.
Oh, paternal, yeah, of course. Well, he's probably not paternal. He's more brotherly, isn't he?
He's very maternal.
Yeah. I think people probably find it odd that he doesn't want children either. And I do. My biggest, not fear, but my biggest thing is to make sure that Kev is telling me the truth in his choice, that it is his choice, like it's my choice, not that he's deciding not to have children because of me.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That probably out of the whole decision around children, that's actually my biggest thing that I think about the most, just making sure that Kev's making his decision for life, because it's a lifelong decision. You know, we are getting older, and if he did want children, he would have to say sooner rather than later, or make a decision to, you know, leave and do that. But he seems to completely be on board with the route and the lifestyle that we're choosing for ourselves.
What does he say when you have that conversation with him?
Well, I mean, it used to be quite like a serious, deep conversation. Now I just check it over dinner. You still don't want kids, babe? And he's like, no, pass the cheese. Genuinely, so yes. Like,
I suppose you've been
after 10 years I don't really know how to have it deep and meaningful now.
Is there any part of you that thinks that he does?
There did used to be, and I think because I've known him so long, and I've known him when he did want them, and I know Kev so well now, no, which is why I probably casually ask it over dinner just to make sure. Yeah. Whereas if I thought he did, I would make it a deeper conversation, because then it would need to be for both our sanity. So this is the thing about children that's really weird, isn't it, though? Because power's almost taken and given in a really strange way, being a man or a woman. So I could just get pregnant and it would be my choice, really. When you look at it, it's up to me if I go to the doctors and get rid of it, or if I physically stay pregnant. The man has no physical choice in that. It's an odd world that we live in, where we'll compromise as a relationship on everything else, and that we still have the power, don't we?
Well, yeah, we do and we don't, because actually one of the things for me is that if me and Dan decide to have a baby, then when I'm pregnant, I'm doing all that. You're doing nothing. I'm doing all of it.
He best get a good push present.
And then when he's going to want to be something really good, because this is a lot of my life.
It's 9 months without wine, babe.
I want nine months worth of wine.
Yes,
stocked presented
up
to me as the baby departs.
Yes. If I ever was going to, but I'm not, but I always thought I would make Kev not drink for 9 months as well. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. If you're going to be a parent, then
let's do it together.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Dan's good.
Sorry, Dan. I know. Sorry, Dan.
I need to ask you a question.
Yeah.
So I just want your instant gut reaction.
Yeah. Gut reaction with a microphone shoved in my face. That's always a good one.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm not pregnant. I should have said it like that. I was like, it was more like a picture.
Yeah. You're pregnant.
Your face that was on.
I was like, oh my God, this is not how you should tell me.
Okay.
You sat there drinking a glass of wine, darling.
Hey, I'm celebrating. Picture the scene. I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And I say to you, right, for the next 9 months, you can't drink any alcohol either.
Okay.
How do you feel?
I'd be like, really?
Would you do it?
Babe, if you were not just having a fucking mad moment and you genuinely believed deep down that that was in some way going to help you get through it, then yes.
So you would go for the whole 9 months of my pregnancy and you would not drink?
I'm not saying, this is a theoretical situation.
If I asked you to do that, would you not do it?
Oh, I'd question your rationale behind it.
But would you do it?
But ultimately, if you genuinely felt that strongly about something like that, but it was like going to make a massive difference to your happiness throughout the pregnancy, then I'd do anything that's make it easier for you.
Would you secretly have a beer with the
boys? Maybe.
Do you know what I want? I want 10 more years.
So you can have that though. So you can this is the thing though. You can. I think what 10, 15 years ago, people would have children at 20, 21, 22 probably, really. And that was normal. Now, that seems a bit young, right? So most people are getting pregnant more in their late 20s, early 30s. But loads of people are having kids in their 40s as well.
But the problem with that is then, what if you leave it too late and then you can't? And then you go, oh, because this is my thing. Someone said, could wave a magic wand and say, right, I can guarantee that your fertility will not have changed. In fact, I don't even think I want 10 years, just 5 years, maybe even three. That would be fine.
I reckon you'll easily get three. I mean, I'm not a doctor, as we've established.
Like, as of November, I'm officially geriatric.
Are you? What's that?
36. In the world of medicine, you are classed as a geriatric mother.
Really?
Yeah, and that's when your body starts trying to fire out eggs like a maniac. So actually, you're quite prone to getting pregnant then, so you need to be careful.
Right, so I need
soon.
To get those tubes sorted before that. It's a good job I've learned my ABC. note self, book a doctor's appointment.
Hi, can you do that thing with my tubes so I can get pregnant?
Yeah, please. Because I've heard I'm about to go wild with eggs.
Yeah, but that's why.
I did not know that. You may have just saved my life there.
So a lot of people, when they get slightly older, will have twins, and a lot of people will think, oh, maybe they're just having twins because they had IVF, but it's not. But it's because your body actually will want to be like, oh God, quick, she needs to get pregnant, look, she's getting old, quick, fire out all the eggs, fire out the eggs, fire out the eggs, fire out the eggs.
Oh my God, I did not know. Well, there you go then, you might end up with twins if you wait 3 years.
Well, this is one of my theories, that if I'm gonna do it, I might as well pop two out in one go. Bosh.
Yeah, completely. Yeah,
get it done.
Yeah,
one times of damage,
probably a little bit extra damage with the fact that two are popping out of there.
One of my friends had twins, and because they came earlier, they were smaller, so they both just slipped straight out. She wouldn't say that.
Yeah, it's as easy as that. And then she just carried on with the day.
Out they popped.
Oh my God. But what you're saying to me is actually it's about time.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that you maybe don't want one, you just want more time at the minute.
Yes, but I also worry because I'm not and have never been that maternal person who's like, I can't wait to have babies and I can't wait to have one of my own. When Camilla had Chester and I saw him for the first time and how much love I felt for him because he was my
blood.
Yeah, which is weird because people said that to me before and I was like, at the end of the day, he's just a baby. It won't feel any different. But it really did. That was the first time I thought, oh my God, I could imagine like me and Dan having one and it being ours. And then I spend time around kids and I go, look how great our life is. We can go out drinking. We can go away for the weekend. We can go and do this cool thing. We can go and do this cool thing.
Do you know, I think that's the thing is I always look at without kids seems so much fun, more fun to me personally at every stage. And when I first moved to Leeds, so I was 18, and the operations director where I worked, worked at Harvey Nicks, so obviously it was quite a shiny world anyway, but his wife earned more money than him and he was earning quite a lot of money. They had no kids. They were probably both 50 odd, I have never looked up to a couple more in my life. And I was 18. I just knew them two. That's where I want to be. I want to work. I want to make money. I want to go enjoy great experiences by myself / with my partner, but with no small toddler, child-friendly situation needed.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing to me. Like, I literally have looked up to people who don't have children. They're like my dream.
Actually, you saying that makes me think that maybe I do want them, because I think the people who I look up to, but is this bad? The people who I look up to are the couples who have kids, but they still seem to be doing all of the rest of the stuff that they would have done in their life anyway, but they've just found a way of tagging the kid into that.
No, I think that's a great approach, because then you're not having to compromise your life too much. But I think I personally look at some people and see them not compromising their life at all for the child and think, why have you had it?
Yeah.
So there's that balance, isn't there? So you've got the people...
But is it going to be like so? Maybe it will be like when I got Troy, my dog.
Yeah.
So basically, when I first got Troy, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have all these rules. He's not allowed upstairs.
Exactly.
He's not allowed on the bed. He won't be allowed on the sofa unless I command him to get on the sofa.
That's what my rules were.
But so maybe I then think, oh, well, if I have a child, you know, I'll be the mum who still does all these things.
You only feed it organic.
But then the kid will come along and I'll love it so much. I'll be like, of course we can go to Haven and go and watch the red coats at the show. I don't mind doing the kids' phone party.
If you take your kids to Haven red coats, I'm going to take them off you. And you're like, come on, darlings, we'll go to Kendall Calling Festival and we'll have a lot more fun. It'll be a lot more mummy style.
Yeah, but that's what the kids want, babes, and that's what the kids get. Look at how you are with the dogs.
That's true. I'll just see you a little less frequently. No, I'll come there, look at the characters with you. I'll support your kids' choices. I don't know. I think there is that, isn't there? There's how much of yourself do you give up for your kid? How much are you willing to give up? How much should you give up? Some people will 100% give it all up, and it's not giving it up though. See, even my terminology there, I'm using like a negative, how much do you give up? What do you give up? Give up? Because that's what I see it as.
But do you know what I feel? Some people, I feel like, no, I feel like any mum would say they give up stuff.
Do you think?
100%. I don't know any mums who are just like, the hills are alive with the sound of music.
That's amazing. We need to find one for this podcast.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Oh my God, we actually
You need to find Super Mum. You need to find...
Yeah, I'll be interviewing her, looking at her like, you're lying.
Yeah. It's bullshit.
This is bullshit, mate.
Just like, Holly, do you really not want kids? That's what I'd be like. It can't be true. This can't be happening. No way.
Right, so this week you spoke to lovely Holly, who I love.
I love Holly.
How do you feel afterwards?
I have to say, I thought that it might sway me more to not having a baby, but I don't think it did, because I think I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's you. I'm still on the fence over here. So I'm no more pro, I'm no more anti.
I think that's what's quite nice about Holly, though, because she's not saying, oh, everybody don't have babies. She's just saying that that's her decision.
Yeah, and it really is.
Yeah.
Like, there's
no swaying.
No.
And I have to say, I feel quite guilty, because I'm definitely one of those people who's seen Holly with kids and thought, oh, she'd be so good. And that was my immediate reaction. But she'd be so good at being a mum. But now listening to her, I'm like, do you know what? You really shouldn't assume with anyone.
True.
So I gave myself a little slap on the hand there.
Yeah.
So how do you react when people ask you when you're going to have a baby? And assume that you're going to have a baby.
I think I do a bit the same as what Holly does, which is laugh it off, bat away the question, dodge it. Because I don't really know. I'm trying to think of a scenario where some... Because normally, what normally happens is, I don't think anyone has actually directly said, so when are you going to have a baby? Normally it will be in a comment. So it will be more of an assumption of a like, oh, well, you'll know when you have them, or
yeah,
oh, won't be long before you have them. You know, you better get a move on. It's more kind of said in statements. So it's easier to...
I think it's a really invasive thing to, like, when you really think about it, especially with all the people that you're interviewing and talking to, some people have had such a hard time and they've probably kept that under wraps. And like, why are you asking them that?
But it's weird because it is just this weird assumption that everyone thinks that that's what you're going to do. It's almost like saying to someone, oh, so when are you going to breathe next? It's like, it's not like that, but...
great example. Works in radio.
No, but do you know what I mean? It's like you're asking somebody a question that is an assumed thing that everyone does, i.e. breathe, blink, have baby.
Have people ever made you feel uncomfortable about being childless?
No, they haven't. So no one has ever actively made me feel uncomfortable. I have felt uncomfortable in group situations where everyone has got kids and all they are talking about is their maxi cozy or there are the shit that mums talk about that I don't know what any of that is. And what I often find myself doing, which is so tragic, is I'll go, oh yeah, well this one time Troy, we went to somebody's house and Troy was sick on the floor. Or like I'll revert it back to, oh well, it's a bit like that with a dog actually as well. Yeah,
because it kind of is a little bit,
because in those conversations where all the mums are talking about all the mum stuff, I feel and have felt quite isolated and out of it. But not through them kind of intending that upon me. I think that's just an observation that I've gone, oh, I'm different from you because you have all got kids and I clearly have not.
Yeah, and I think it's really hard to be aware of that as well, because in my group of friends, almost all of us, bar like two, there's like seven of us, have got kids now, got babies, and I do sometimes sit there and think, we're talking too much about babies here.
Yeah.
We need to stop.
Stop it. No one cares about your maxi cozy, mate.
Yeah, what is
what is that?
I was just going to ask you if you knew what a maxi cozy was. So, where is the percentage now?
Feels like a cop out, but still 60-40.
I don't think that's a cop out. And I actually think it's quite good.
That it hasn't changed after that, yeah.
Not been overthinking, therefore the percentage has changed. Not changed even.
No, I think I'm still 60-40.
Okay.
I'm a bit more for than against.
Oh.
Why are you so excited if I have one?
I'm not. I don't mind either way. I mean, it'd be nice if Chester had a cousin, but I love you anyway.
Follow our journey and tell us about your own on social media at TaBaby or not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it really help us out, it will, but it will also guarantee that your baby will forever sit quietly in restaurants. Oh, so quiet. Join me next time when I try to decide whether TaBaby or not TaBaby.
On the next TaBaby or not TaBaby.
There's a chocolate advert that I always used to see, and it was a little girl buying her mum a bar of dairy milk for Mother's Day, and I would just sob every time I saw it, because this new reality of what you thought your life was going to be like is potentially going to be different.